Well, here we are again. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and we are finding ourselves in the midst of a cold front, just in time for me to go camping. Yes, I'm going to be at the Davy Crockett Birthplace Campground this weekend, looking forward to, I just hope my heat works. I've got two different forms of heat in my camper. I've got gas, which is propane, but those tanks are awful small. So I think I have plenty of gas. And then I've got electric heat also. So I don't think it's exactly a heat pump, but I'm looking forward to kind of getting away just a little bit for a few days, you know, down there next to the Nolichucky River, walking the same ground that Davy Crockett supposedly walked. I think he was pretty young when he lived there. He moved around a lot. But it's a neat place. I mean, if you haven't been there, it's definitely worth seeing. There's really cool places to camp in Upper East Tennessee. The problem is it's become a very popular thing to do. Last weekend, I believe, or the weekend before that, they had a vintage camper event at Davy Crockett. So these people that are, I guess, camping enthusiasts are also, they like old cars and they like old stuff, and so they find these old Airstreams and Shastas and all these other famous old brands of campers that have, you know, fallen into disrepair. Or maybe they preserved them, you know, from when their parents owned the campers or whatever. But they have, oh my goodness, it's just so fun to look at those campers and the way they decorate and how into that they are. I just love it. I love the sense of community that you get even with total strangers. You know, somebody pulls up in something that you're interested in, and that just opens the door to sometimes just a wonderful conversation. There are lots of people who will still steer clear of that because they really don't want to talk to any strangers. But I've learned some of the most beautiful things from strangers. And my dad taught me that lesson. I was an anti-stranger person at one time. And when I was growing up, I didn't see any sense talking to somebody I didn't know. But he was the outgoing guy. And my mom was too, or is, well, was. I mean, she can't really do that anymore. But dad was the guy who works at the car dealership, owns the place, and you'll find him in the middle of the customer lounge just chatting it up with people and, you know, getting to know folks. And there are still folks that come up to me and say, you know, your dad was so nice to me. I bought a car from him back in the 70s, but he was such a nice guy, just so easy to talk to and stuff. And that's what you want to hear about your parents. You know, there's an old saying that the sins of the parents put the children's teeth on edge. Have you ever heard that? I don't know if it's a proverb or whatever, but it's more like the habits of the parents put the children's teeth on edge. You know, sometimes my dad wanting to be chatty with all these strangers sometimes would get on my nerves. But I was just young and immature. Now I look back and I'm a geezer and I can appreciate that because I like to do it too. I like to engage with people. When I see somebody in the showroom, they're just looking, you know, they say, well, I'm just looking, you know, and I say, well, I'm not going to try to say anything. I'm just wanted to talk to somebody. And it's funny what you can pull out of somebody when you want to. There's my phone going off. Yeah, that's another thing that gets in the way of relationships and conversations, isn't it? The phone. We didn't used to wear them. They didn't used to be a part of our equipment that we carried around. You know, my wife wanted to call me at work. If I wasn't there, they paged me. I wasn't there. It was, you know, I was free. I could go to the bean barn. I could go to the golf course. And she didn't worry if I didn't answer the phone. She never called. It was different then, wasn't it? And now, if I don't answer my phone, like, on the second try, it's like DEFCON 4. What has happened to Dad, you know? Especially my girls. They are very overprotective. But that's okay. At least I'm loved. Okay, if you have been paying any attention to this show this week, you know that I have been talking about trying to keep you from making a mistake buying a car, getting it serviced. We were talking about service yesterday, and I did talk to my service advisors today about some things that we need to pay closer attention to. You know, one of the most important things that I have found is that customers cherish, and that's just keeping them informed of what's going on. We signed up for the lawn doctor, and my wife said, "I want green grass next year." I said, "What's wrong with the green weeds? They're green." And she said, "No, let's go for grass." And so we hired the lawn doctor for my yard, and it's a pretty big yard, and so it's not cheap. So they had to kill everything that was bad and then wait. Well, I've been waiting for like 3 weeks now. They were supposed to come back. So I called him. He said, "Oh, Mr. Lawson, I haven't forgotten you." "Well, it seems like you have." He said, "No," you know, because he had told me he was going to come back the next week. Well, 3 weeks later is not exactly right. You know, it kind of gets on your nerves a little bit. And he acted like it was no big deal and like it was that I was the problem. But it does matter to folks that they are kept informed. You know, you come to a dealership, you order parts, and they don't call you back when the parts come in. And then you call them, and they say, "Oh, yeah, I was meaning to call you." They weren't. You were the furthest thing from their mind. So I remind my service advisors that one of the most important things you can do is keep customers informed, especially if their vehicle is in the shop currently, and they're having to walk, or they're renting a car, or they're in a loaner car. You know, I've also had service advisors say, "Well, I got them in a loaner car." I said, "They don't want to be in a loaner car. They want to be in their car." "Well, okay, you're right." So it's just like sometimes when you get put in a loaner car, that means that your vehicle can be put on the back burner, and you don't want that to happen. So it's nice if you tell the service advisor what's the best way to get in touch with you? What's the best way to communicate with you? And the easiest way is just to ask them to text if you use text. If you're still using a flip phone, then you probably need a phone call. But, you know, it shouldn't go more than a couple days without some kind of a contact, I don't think. It's one of those things that be proactive, right? Not reactive. And you should never have a customer call you and tell you that, you know, "I've been waiting for you to call me back and I haven't heard anything." That's not good. So they have your car and it's been sitting here and you don't know what's going on. You finally call and say, "Well, we can't really figure out what's wrong with your car." It's time for you to figure out, okay, well, if you don't mind my asking, what are you doing to find out what's wrong with my car? You know, does the factory need to be involved, especially if it's a vehicle that's under warranty? Because sometimes there will be bulletins that are issued by the manufacturer. It's not a recall. It's just a notice that goes out to dealers that, you know, in certain circumstances, this particular car with this VIN number series will have an issue with this particular thing. So if you really want them to be shocked at your knowledge, say, "Well, have you checked to see if there's any TSBs on that?" And they're going to say, "You know what a TSB is?" And you say, "Yes, I listen to my car guru. That is a technical service bulletin." And that's what those little communications are to dealers. You may have something that is a common problem, but it's not safety related, so it's not a recall. You know, that's why they have recalls, is because it's a safety-related item. It can affect the safety, you know, when it comes to braking, steering, vehicles catching on fire, doors, you know, flying open, being, you know, on their own. Those are the kind of things that will generate a recall. But if it's just a remote issue that happens, maybe with the air conditioning or something like that, then there are TSBs. So that would be the first line of defense. If they keep your car if it's under warranty and they keep your car for more than 30 consecutive days, or you have to bring your car back 4 times for the same problem and it's not fixed and a repair order was generated. Remember yesterday I told you how important it was to make sure that every time you take your car to the dealership with an issue that you make sure they generate a repair order. And if they say, "Well, we just test drove it. We just kept it and drove it and stuff," say, "I want a repair order made." because that's important when you go back. If it is one of those nightmare scenarios where it ends up qualifying for the lemon law, which is what it takes, is 30 consecutive days in the shop out of your possession, or four times for the same problem, then it may qualify for the lemon law, but only if you've owned the car for less than 1 year or 12,000 miles. If you buy a used car and it has a problem and you keep taking it back, it does not, that does not qualify for the lemon law. Okay? If it's any used car, it's not, it doesn't qualify. It has to be a new car. Now, there are other paths of recourse for you. But, you can sue somebody for anything, right? You can take them to court. But it's usually not productive to go there. Many times the customers lose. I don't know what the percentages are, but it's just a big pain. If you've got an uncooperative dealer, it's because the right people aren't talking to each other. You know, you're not getting to the person that you need. If you buy a used car from a new car dealership, you've got a lot more leverage. You know, Google gives you a lot of leverage. Facebook gives you leverage. And what I mean is, you know, you can go on there and you can hurt somebody's reputation. Now, please, make sure that you are being fair about this. You know, if you take your car in to get it worked on and they don't fix it the first time and you're all frustrated, don't go on Facebook. I'm not preaching or anything, but that is not the right thing to do. I think you go back to the business and handle it like they did 30 or 40 years ago before there was Facebook. You don't go on there and destroy them. Give them a really horrible Google rating. Give them a chance to fix the problem. I'm not just speaking for me. I'm speaking for any dealer. Give them the chance to fix the problem. And sometimes that takes going up the food chain a little bit in the service department. You've got the service manager. Sometimes you'll have a shop foreman, which could be the next person in line, assistant service manager if it's a big dealership, then the service manager. Then sometimes customers will skip over to like a sales manager because sometimes they can intervene for you. They don't like to. They like to leave the service to the service people. Sometimes you can go to your salesperson, and they may say, well, I don't have any authority there, or they may have been there a long time and have all kinds of authority. Then you're going to ask for the general manager of the dealership. That's the guy who is responsible for running the whole operation. Now, then you have what they call the dealer operator. That's me, okay, at Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan. So I am the dealer and the owner of the dealership. Now, you know, some dealerships have multiple owners. You know, the most I've ever heard of ownership in one store was four different owners, but you always had one of them that was actually the operator. He was the guy that was on the scene. The other people were just financial investors. Sometimes they work. I had great partners over the years. I'm glad I don't have any now. You know, you want partners when things are bad, and you don't want partners when things are good. But I've enjoyed, I guess my favorite partner was my dad, just because, we got along. But that's not always true in family businesses, as most of you probably know, or some of you, especially if you've been in a family business, it can create a lot of different issues. But we were fortunate. We had some, but we were always able to deal with them. So the dealer is the guy that you would like to see. You know, it's his name that's on the sign, or used to be. You know, 30, 40 years ago, the factories did not want you to call a dealership Greenville Chevrolet or Johnson City Ford. They didn't like that. They wanted a name on it. However, you know, the Ford dealer in Johnson City used to be Tennessee Motor Company. Then I think, was it Ramey? I think that might have bought the dealership, and it was Ramey Ford for a while. And then Ramey sold to the Hudson Group, and now it's Johnson City Ford. And you have Johnson City Toyota and Johnson City Honda and Champion Chevrolet, Chaparral. Of course, the Gonzalez's are the owners of that, and that's a family business. And Champion Chevrolet is, I think there are several partners in there, but Tim Copenhaver and is the kind of the frontline guy. How in the world do we do that? No, wait a minute. What's his, how do we do that is what he says. And then my buddy Chris Lee at Gatton says, why in the world would you not? And I can't think of some of the others. We've all said something silly at one time. Oh, Mitch Walters, yeah, we're dealing. I love him. But I tell you what, when they own like 15 or 20 dealerships, you're going to have a hard time finding the owner. And so it's changing. I mean, there are the two dealerships. There's three dealers in Greenville. When I first became a dealer, or when my dad did back in 1971 and we moved here, there were seven new car dealers in Greenville. And, I mean, there was a standalone Buick dealership. I mean, how would they survive now? And so, anyway, we were standalone Chevrolet, but Chevrolet had trucks, Buick didn't. And then they got all consolidated, and now there are three dealerships in Greenville, and there's only one that's locally owned. The other two are owned by some company out of Florida. So that's the consolidation in this industry is something that is happening, and it makes it difficult sometimes when you need to get to the top. Now, there are some really good general managers that take ownership of it, and but it's, you know, it's just not their name on the line sometimes. And they can get a little brusque, you know, with a customer. You know, what I always recommend to folks is just don't go in there yelling and screaming. Be calm. Have your facts. And ask to sit down and try not to cry. Just be businesslike. I mean, some of these things can get pretty emotional. Just tell them what the facts are. You know, I'm just not happy with the service. My car's been in here four times. Here are the four repair orders. You know, that helps for you to keep those. And I just, you know, want you to know how inconvenient it is. I can't bring my car in here every 2 weeks to get it worked on. You know, I want this to stop, and I want some intervention. I don't know whether the factory needs to get involved in this or if, but I know one thing, I want you involved in it because I have not said anything to anybody. I have not gone on social media or done any Google ratings. I'm going to give you an opportunity to fix this, and then we'll just see what happens from there. Now, I just think that's a better approach than going ahead and blasting somebody online and then going in and, you know, after the dealer has already seen that, I mean, his feelings are hurt. Why didn't you come see me first before you tried to drag me through the mud? I think that's fair, don't you? I mean, I think too many people, they see all this feedback on Facebook, and they think that that's what you need to do, and by blasting somebody. And you don't realize how harmful that is to your business. You know, maybe they just had the wrong tech on it. You know, they didn't really know what needed to be done. They did need to get the factory involved. You know, sometimes they forget to call, things like that. I mean, bad customer service can happen to anybody. That's where it's very helpful to have a customer who's, you know, kind of keeping things under control when it comes to their anger so that, you know, you have the opportunity to hear what they're saying. You know, when somebody's yelling at you, there are human responses that kick in that, you know, can light up a little defensivism, or defensiveness is the better word. Defensivism is not probably not a word. Defensiveness is. So it's natural, you know, for somebody and it to, you know, to react to that. It takes a lot of training. It took me a lot of years. I used to be kind of a hothead. Not, you know, to the extreme that I would yell at people. I have thrown people out of the dealership before. You need to leave right now. You need to get out. I've done that before. I haven't done it in many years, but, you know, if somebody's just ranting and raving and there's nothing you can do to calm them down and they're disturbing customers and your employees and they're being unreasonable, you don't have to put up with that. And I don't think you should. But you know, the best thing to do is to try to calm them down and find out, okay, what's the heart of this? But if an employee can, I mean, if a customer can keep their act together and get their point across, I can promise you they're going to get more out of the dealership than yelling. There's some people think, well, you have to yell. You have to make sure they know you're mad. And I don't buy into that philosophy. Do you? I didn't think so. Okay, we'll take our last break, and I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. Folks, if you have had automotive service lately, there may have been parts shortages. They may have told you these parts are on back order. They're not trying to blow you off. This is true. Okay, this is true stuff. You've heard about all of the shortages, all of the supply chain problems that they're having, everything from shipping to just warehousing, just inventories, extremely low availability of parts, manufacturing delays, shutdown plants. This is going to be a rolling problem for the next year or so, maybe longer. This pandemic, it did a number on the supply chain. And that's just think of all the different products that we buy and the things that are scarce. Also, just shop capacity, the ability to get you in. I heard one of my service advisors tell somebody on the phone today that we can get you on. I don't know what the problem was. It was probably a specific, like we needed transmission work, and our transmission guy is jammed with work right now. And he actually told him it would be 3 weeks before we could get him in to fix that particular issue. That's awful. What's a person supposed to do in the meantime? But that's just the way it is. So don't be frustrated if you find that. All the more reason to properly maintain your car and keep the fluids and get everything changed. If you're not ready for winter, we can handle that. You know, come in and get a full bumper-to-bumper inspection. Get your coolant level and your coolant protection tested. Let's check your battery, make sure how many cold cranking amps you have. Let's make sure all your fluids are topped off, that you got adequate tread depth in your tires, you know, that your brakes are in good shape. A number of things need to be checked as we go into winter. So you need to get that done. If you want to get it done at Gateway, you don't have to own a Ford or a Nissan. We work on everything. And so you can bring it to me. You can call me, 552-2020. I'll get you scheduled in, I promise. You're a radio show listener. You're special. So we'll get that taken care of. If you have a BMW or a Audi or something like that, my sympathies. No, really. If you need to get your vehicle worked on, it's going to be tough right now from a scheduling standpoint. Pretty much preventative maintenance. Most places can get you in and out. But if you have a big mechanical issue, it's going to take a while. Some circumstances. Well, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and we'll see you next time.